This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. If you've been around the digital signage industry for even a little while, you'd know Rich Ventura, the very active board member and then chair of the Digital Signage Federation, and pretty much the front man for NEC Display. But now, after about 20 years with NEC, he's at Sony, running his B2B group, which includes digital signage products. I caught up with Rich last week to talk about the job change and where Sony sits in the signage and AV ecosystems. We get into Sony's smart displays, where Sony is at with software, and the past, present, and future of its gorgeous but big-dollar micro-LED displays. He even drops a hint that maybe we'll see more LED from Sony someday. Have a listen. So, Rich, good to chat. You have moved on. People know you from many years at NEC, and now you are at Sony. What prompted the move?
You know, it's some people say it was kind of a midlife crisis, and I kind of laugh at them. No, not at all. It's as I've told everybody, I mean, 20 years at NEC, and I love NEC, and I always will, and I consider everybody at NEC family. It was an opportunity that just made a lot of sense for my career. Getting that, you know, it had to be a really, really amazing opportunity for me to move. And, you know, I looked at the direction Sony wants to go. I looked at the leadership within Sony. I look at the technology. I look at all those different things. And it was like that really great opportunity. And I think it was also that opportunity to give me the ability of driving change even further and adding into my skill set, but, you know, going looking at the tech and the direction that Sony wants to go, it just was really a hard to say no. It was a hard decision to say yes, but it was also a hard decision to say no.
Mm-hmm. So what is the gig?
You know, it's basically running and leading our B2B organization. And I hate to say running and leading, because it's really, to me, it's more supporting and growing and partnering within the B2B organization with all the people that we have there to really grow our business. And it's for North America. So you look within the B2B organization, it's working with our Bravia professional displays. We do also have access to some of our consumer product as well. It's working with our CLED product, which is really just an amazing technology. It's working with our projector products, an area I've never really worked with before, our PTZ camera space, okay, our boom mics. We have an edge analytics, but it's not that type of edge analytics people are used to hearing me talk about. It's really around distance learning and classroom. Looking at, and, you know, any of those types of solutions that fit within our Pro AV space.
Is broadcast under your portfolio as well?
No, it's not. That's going to be a different group in there, but okay, we have that kind of that touch, and that's with that PTZ camera base. Because there's some products that we have that can play in both the AV space, but also in the broadcast space.
Right. So, you know, this is a digital signage podcast, so I will tend to talk about that. I'm curious about where Sony's at in the context of signage, because Sony has had a product out there in different ways for at least 15 years, and they've kind of been in and out of signage. You know, they've had booths at the trade shows, and then they kind of disappeared, and they seem to have software, but maybe they don't. They were the first guys, as far as I know, to do system on chip displays, but, you know, Samsung made a lot more noise about it than them, and on and on. So kind of where are they at?
So it's great. I mean, part of the reason or part of my decision criteria to come over here was I did look at the SOC play and what we're doing. And if you look at it, you know, our displays have an SoC chip on it. We're running Android. It's not a Sony operating system. It's an Android operating system. And there was a lot of attractiveness to that. And I see this great opportunity within digital signage. And, you know, you look at how the industry has gone. You've got organizations that have their own operating system and they're running this closed environment, so to speak, right? And then you have organizations that are not running operations. They're just running this massively open environment where you can use these different types of computers and open operating system. And in Sony, we kind of can go both directions. We have this Android operating system, which is fairly open, but it's a design for our displays. And one of the things I want to look at is how can we capitalize on that? And you'd be amazed. You may not be amazed. You know, that first week of me joining Sony, so many CMS companies called me saying, we want to work with Sony. I'm like, great. Let me understand where we're at. To me, I look at digital signage as still a very young industry. We're in this, I always refer to the industry we're in today as really that fourth industrial revolution. We're focusing on IoT and everything's this connected device world, and digital signage is a massive part of it. Nobody has truly capitalized on that. And so when I came into Sony and having my conversations with leadership and everyone, they said, well, we don't focus that much on digital signage because it's such a, there's everybody's doing business in there. And I go, actually, they're not. They're not doing it the right way. And I think even with what's been happening with COVID, digital signage has taken on this whole different life and this whole different opportunity. And to me, this is very opportunistic for Sony and what we can do. And I'm having a lot of late night conversations with our team in Japan. I'm talking a lot with our team here. I'm talking to a lot of different software companies and looking at, okay, what has been our strategy? So it's here, and what, where do we want to grow, and where do I see our strategy being? And that's part of my first 30, 45 days is laying out what is our strategy. Digital signage has got a massive opportunity for us. There's a lot of upside to it. I think we needed to have, I don't want to say open our eyes a little bit differently, but I think we need to look at it a little differently than what we have historically. And I think you're going to see a lot of really exciting stuff coming from us, both in the near future and long-term future, around digital signage.
It's a little bit challenging, though, because Sony primarily, if you set aside the CLED product, which we'll talk about, but on the LCD flat panel side, it seems to be increasingly a commodity play. And the big Korean guys like LG and Samsung seem to be backing off of it a little bit because they can't compete with China panels.
No, totally. And I think you've always known my opinion about value. If you look at where I shared with the organization in my first week, I have really three core values when we look at our business. Everything we have to do needs to drive value. Period. So if we're delivering a 55-inch LCD, we're delivering a PTZ camera, CLED, whatever it is, there has to be value driven to our customers. Well, the way we drive value is really twofold. One is we drive value by being easier to engage, work with, you know, not having complex systems. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, that's what you said when you were at NEC. And I go, well, I believe in that. I mean, I believe that an organization to drive value, we have to be easier to work with. We have to have systems that work very well together. That goes all the way down to the level of our platforms with the Android, being able to integrate into that, being able to deploy our product, being able to purchase our product. All those things have to be easier, and that drives value. The second aspect of it is solutions focused. And I don't mean taking a monitor, a mount, and a cable, throw it in a box. Solutions focused to me means we're solving pain points for our customers. We're creating an opportunity for them to grow, to impact their business. And so when we look at those three things, that's where our focus is at. Our focus is not to sell at the lowest price point. Our focus is not to compete at a dollar for dollar. Our focus is really competing at the value. How do we drive that value to our customers? If you look at our product category, we don't have 100 SKUs. What we have, though, are very focused SKUs that can work well in the corporate space, well in the education space, work well in the transportation space, the wayfinding directory space.
Okay, so you don't really, I mean, you would take the opportunity if it came along, but the high volume commodity-ish stuff like digital menu boards, that sort of thing where you're just selling by large volumes of them isn't really the play. It's going to be more around situations where you need very high quality displays.
You know me, I'm going to go after every deal I can, right?
Sure.
I'm going to be opportunistic, but I also need to maintain and make sure that we're doing it profitably. I don't want to give up quality. I don't want to give up support. I don't want to give up all those things that we're known for just so that we can sell, 10,000 displays. It's interesting when I've asked, our employees, why do people buy Sony? And the answer has been almost identical across the line. It's been around our quality. It's been around our technology. It's been around our reliability. It is those things that I value very heavily. And so how do we do that? Grow the business, maintain profitability, and really deliver on the value. And it goes, it's a difficult task, right? And especially as we see more and more of the commoditization happening out there. And that's where I'm really challenging the team. And that's where I'm even challenging our partners from a technology partners and even our channel partners is how do we do that? And where can we become opportunistic to go after the right business and deliver the right solutions and value to our partners?
And right now, is that partners, as you describe them, is it a reseller channel partner ecosystem that you primarily sell through?
Yeah, we are a channel organization. We have very strong relationships with our distribution partners, our regional integrators, our national integrators. We have really strong relationships with them. And I want to find ways to expand that relationship with them. And how can we help them grow their business and really take on more of that solution? So that, not meaning Sony taking on that solution, but how do we help them take on that ability of growing their capabilities and growing their value add? So at the same time, though, I'm going to be very opportunistic and see where are ways that we can help them with differentiation from Sony as well.
Sure. So in the ecosystem, where do you think right now or historically these channel partners have been kind of jammed up? Like, where do they need the help?
It'd be easy for me to say, well, they need X, Y, Z, but I think they're all different. Every one of these channel partners have really, out of necessity and opportunity, have really differentiated themselves. Some have the most amazing content creation organizations. Some of them have amazing installation capabilities and service. That's really where integrators have always cut their teeth, has been around integration services. Some of them have just an amazing levels of partnerships. So it's really looking at every level with them, where can we help them? I'll use a really easy example. There's a partner that I had a call with my first week as one of our channel partners, and they cut their teeth in broadcast and audio. That's where they've always focused their attention. And digital signage is a new realm for them. And so as we were talking through and I asked him, who do you partner with? Who have you talked to and stuff like that? We started talking about organizations that are out there from a software perspective, a mount perspective, and the knowledge base that we have is very valuable to them. And so the fact that we can help steer them and look at who are the right types of companies to work with, or as you're verticalizing, who are the right players in different vertical markets, that becomes very valuable. So now how do I use that to our advantage? And that's the million-dollar question. And I think as I work with the sales organization and our marketing organization, looking at who have we worked with and where we've seen those value and create, to me, really a tier of manufacturer partners. Like, it's our friends, it's our family, and it's our blood. And friends are those ones that we know each other, we work well together, right? Family is where we start getting that stickiness where we have some integrations together, or we have ease. I go back to that ease of use and the value. blood is really where solutions come in and where our products are integrated with one another. And that's new for Sony. And I think that's, as we grow the business, it's not going to be today. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's over a period of time. That's where we start driving that helping that value with that integration channel.
What do you think of the whole work from home thing and the realization amongst a lot of companies that, hey, maybe we don't need this big office tower or five floors in an office tower. We can have one floor and everybody else just works from home. What that's going to mean for things like workplace communications and this idea that this was one of the next big frontiers for signage in particular, that you could sell them all this stuff because of the need to communicate in white collar environments.
So the selfish opportunistic salesperson in me hates it because it reduces my opportunity to sell. I love having tons of Tobin's offices out there because I can sell a lot of product. Mm-hmm. The realist in me sees this as an opportunity to differentiate and drive value. Whether it's, you know, I go back to the Android player and the fact that we have simple solution for signage and being able to get that to a company so that they can do simple, whether it's information to their employees about COVID and information about status and information about things going on in their business. I think it's also going to be opportunistic and challenging for us as manufacturers to look at what are other ways that we communicate, right? Is it putting higher brightness displays in windows so that people can be communicated to? Is there going to be this growth within the out of home community? And are they going to have a different type of need with direct view LEDs? It's all those things. One of the things I also see is it's a challenging opportunity from a technology perspective. I go back to this being that industrial revolution around IoT. How do we deliver our tech that doesn't require somebody to physically touch the monitor? How do we derive solutions that allow our customers to remotely monitor, manage, deploy their technology where they do have offices? And maybe they don't have an employee in every single location. It's all those things I think are going to be at play for us. I've worked from home for many years. I mean, I carried a bag for NEC, right? So my first 10 years at NEC, I worked from home. Then I worked in an office, and now I'm back to working at home. So I'm used to it. It's definitely created a new dynamic for employees. The engagement has to be different. We have to engage with our employees a lot more different. We have to make sure that they feel engaged. I've seen some of these digital signage software companies like Signage Live, for example, building out platforms that allow them to engage at the employee level to their laptops. Mm-hmm. I think it's when we're looking at what's going on today, it's going to really drive creativity and innovation. And it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be fun to see how companies do innovate and drive engagement now.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So when I go to trade shows, when those things still happened, when I would walk through, let's say the last one I was at was ISC, I walked through the big Sony booth, and I would see a lot of information about a product I think was called Teos.
Yes.
Teos, which seemed to be primarily office-based digital room signs, that sort of thing. But I got a sense that there was a digital signage component to it. But you also have some sort of a signage CMS product that maybe comes out of India, or I'm not quite sure where it really, what are those things?
I'm still learning. Teos is really an interesting platform. I'm learning a lot about it. I got to spend some time last week with our team in Europe to understand it. To me, Teos is like this office management automation communication platform. And it's a platform. It's not a piece of software. And I think that's critical to understand is it's a platform. And it's allowing us to look at, you know, room management and schedule management. And there is a digital science element to it, but it's not like if I were to rank like the top 10 features to it and functionality, it's not in that top five because there's a lot of other things behind it.
Right. It's a module.
It is, right? It's not a standalone. I'm going to deploy this for my digital signage and that's all I'm going to do. That's not what it's for.
Right.
And so I'm really learning a lot about it. There's some really cool capabilities with it. But it's not something I would go and deploy in a retailer, for example. This is more for office workspace environment. And, you know, I'm definitely learning a lot about it. I think there's some really cool capabilities into it. And, you know, knowing my background and working with software teams, I, of course, started asking a billion questions and blew their mind a little bit. But I think there's some really cool things about it. The digital signage element you're talking about is something else that I haven't had a chance to go learn and spend my time on and yet. But from what I've seen, it's very simplistic. It's something that you can do within our environment. What I will say is it's there's a necessity for it. As we all talk about, you know, that really that SMB, that single screen environment that you don't make your money on. But do I think it's the silver bullet? I think you know me well enough to know that I've never considered any digital signage software package be a silver bullet. They can do, you know, one package, do everything for everyone. You know, I'm going to reserve judgment until I've gotten to really see it and play with
right.
it. But it's exciting to see that people are thinking about ways that we can deliver value. Everything goes back to my conversation around value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it whenever you have your own CMS, it becomes this delicate little dance of what is it for? Does it compete with your software partners and all that sort of thing? I don't think any of the software partners who started calling you would be too worried about a totally entry level onesie twosie kind of thing. But I've chatted quite a bit with Samsung and about Magic Info through the years, and they're now at a point where they have a full time product manager and they're taking it very seriously. But you know, that starts to get really thorny in terms of the partner ecosystem that they have on the software side.
Yeah, I look at it as an opportunity. Hire as many product managers as you can, please. I look at it as an opportunity where we can partner with companies. I think you've known me long enough, and those in the industry have known me long enough, is I take partnerships very serious. Mm-hmm. And they're a path to growth. And if I can have 1,000 people out there pushing and talking about the Sony brand, that's very valuable to me. You know, everybody, I've had a lot of people go to me and say, okay, you're at NEC all those years and you guys are one of the top dogs. Why go to Sony? And I say, because Sony's a top dog too. You just don't realize it yet. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been quiet. I think everybody knows me well enough to know I'm not shy. I'm willing to, you know, I bleed my brand. I bleed my company. And as I told everybody on the team's day one, I've got your back. And my job here is to help us grow and really put us, you know, put us in that position that we're going to be the top dog. And I look at those opportunities with the products we have today, the partnerships, and, you know, the one product we haven't talked yet about is CLED. Is I mean, I'm blown away by what that product can do. It is an absolutely beautiful technology. I know you and I have talked about it. When I first saw it and you first saw it, we talked about it in interviews and you've asked me, what's my opinion of this CLED product? I said, it's pretty amazing looking. I don't know anything about it yet, but it's pretty cool looking.
The one thing I would ask about CLED, and if people listening don't know what it is, it's Sony's micro LED product, which has been around about 4 or 5 years now. Yes, it looks amazing. I've stood really close to it and tried to figure out what was going on. And over the years, I've learned more about what micro LED is. The one thing that I wondered about is it seems to be the same product that it was 3-4 years ago when it first came out. And in LED, everything's evolving so quickly. I wonder, where is it at? Is it Is it on Gen 3 and I just don't understand that?
Well, why fix anything if you made perfection day one? I'm just kidding. I think we are evolving, right? I think where CLED is at today and where we want to take it, you're going to see, we'll evolve it, right? It's one of the things I've really dived deeply into, and it's been an interesting experience, I think, for my business team, is really understanding all of our products, whether it's CLED, it's Bravia, it's PTZ, you go down a list of it, and having these calls with the product management team here, but also the team in Japan, and that's challenging them. Okay, what are we going to do? How do we grow this business? How are we positioning ourselves against the competition in the industry? You know, going back to my three things earlier about value and simplicity and solutions, what are we doing? And I think you're going to see a lot of really cool stuff. Can't go into depth about it at all, but I can tell you there's a lot of cool stuff that we're working on and looking at. That being said, we've got some really amazing projects that are deploying the CLED product, and the clarity of the product, the uniformity of the product, the technology behind it is exactly what they need for those applications. And it's not a utilitarian product at all.
I've seen it in the wild now a couple of times, and just like in the trade shows, being really impressed. The one thing that worried me a little bit was the glossy finish that it has on it. Seems to pick up reflection.
Mm-hmm. No, it does. And that's, you know, like I said, you know, the applications are very explicit for how it's being used.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen pictures of some of the deployments that we've done, and I go, aha, that makes sense to me. That makes sense on where it goes and why it goes in this application. It's really a technology you need to really dive in to understand. Mm-hmm. It's not like traditional LED at all. And I'm still learning it. I mean, I've had 9 meetings just specifically around CLED, and I still have a million questions every time I get on the phone. I'm excited about what it can do and how we position it better in the market, or how we currently position it, but how we continue to position it in the market.
Yeah, and I think it'll be important for people to understand the price points and how the technology is evolving, because when that thing first came out, making a micro LED of that scale would have been enormously expensive just because the manufacturing technology wasn't there. But you know, micro LED is—I don't want to say it's becoming commonplace, but it's pretty widely adopted now. So I would assume that you can do a hell of a lot more, and make it more relatable price-wise to more potential buyers.
Yeah, and that happens, as you know, as we always talk about technology, that tech curve, right? So you have the early adopters all the way through to the late adopters, and technology follows that curve, right? So at the mm-hmm. beginning, at the early adopters, you don't have a lot of volume. You don't have the technology to drive things because it's new. It's a new idea, and it takes a while to happen. But no, and I think that's where I challenge our team. When I say our team, I talk about everybody, our sales organization, our marketing organization, our development team, is how do we drive forward where that product, that platform is the right product, right platform for the marketplace and where it needs to go, but also fits the right applications and use cases. So I think, like I said, I think you'll see a lot of opportunity coming out of us with that CLED product.
It's interesting in that even today, you still have any number of people referring to any big outdoor LED board as a Jumbotron, which was a Sony product that came and went. Yes. But really, the only Sony direct view LED product that I know of is the CLED. Are there any plans to expand, or is that just such a crowded market? Stay with this premium product and that'll be it?
All I can say is keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, wherever it's going, it's hard not to have a range of products to suit different needs, particularly in the business market. The one other thing I'm curious about is it an advantage to you, or does it feel more comfortable in the fact that you spent 20 years working for a Japanese company already, so you understand the business culture? Because I would imagine somebody who's spent all their time working just with, you know, North American manufacturers or whatever, going and starting to work with a Japanese culture, business culture, it might be quite a shift for them.
So it's an advantage and a disadvantage. It's an advantage because I've gotten to really learn so much, especially I say in the last 3 or 4 years of my career at NEC, I really spent a lot of time with our Japanese. And I got to learn a lot of, just a really how they work and how we as an organization can work better with them and communicate better. I think I always have to remind everybody is English is not their first language, right? And so as we share information with our team in Japan, they may be speaking to us in English, but they're also computing this in their heads in Japanese to make sure they understand. So it's very critical that we communicate and we're very open and transparent with one another. That was the first thing. The second thing is that I also can understand where their needs are, and you know, if they're not asking questions to be difficult, doing things that way. They truly want to understand. They truly want to be there with us and support us. And so I've got that. That's been an awesome experience that I've had coming into this. Where it's not advantageous is I've got 20 years experience working with NEC and how they operate. Now I have a new organization, so I have a new vocabulary. I have a new chain of command. I have all those new things to learn, and so which is actually exciting. As I told a lot of people, everybody's been going, God, how's it going so far? You're week three, and I go, yeah, I'm just as excited as I was in week one. And everybody laughs, goes, well, it's only been 2 weeks. I go, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm excited. And I think even my people are seeing that as I talk with them and everything is, and even with the Japanese, it's exciting. It's such an exciting opportunity. And I hope that, you know, I can transfer that excitement within the organization. So I see a lot of value in my history of working with Japanese and going forward working with Japanese organizations, because I do have a history and I do have an understanding of how we work best with one another.
Well, this has been great. It's great in a couple standpoints. First, just catching up. But second, I've struggled to find the right person on the business side to talk to at Sony for many, many years. And now I have someone.
Well, it's funny, Dave. I was talking with Allison in our marketing social media group, and I was actually talking with some of our product managers or business managers yesterday. And one of the things that I told them, I said, we need to be more present. We need to be more out there in the industry, whether it's through social media, whether it's speaking, it's training, it's education. And those who know me well know that is something I really, really value heavily. Right. And it's not me. I don't need to be the person doing it. And I really want to empower our organization to be more present in the industry. And because I look at it from a couple ways. One is it builds value. The second is it builds those bridges between our organizations, but also it shows just how much we can do. And all that drives sales and all that drives relationships and everything else. So, I'm excited because it kind of feels like I have a little bit of a blank canvas to work with. But, you know, if we sit down a year from now and we talk about all the things that we did in this first year, and let's do that. Let's talk in a year from now. Let's talk about how much Sony's changed. And I think the statement you just made, I hope I never hear that again, because I think you guys will see us more present in the industry. You'll see us more present in the technology. You're going to see us out there more. And I'm really excited about seeing that happen.
All right, Rich, thanks for your time.
As always, thank you for inviting me, and I look forward to continue to have these conversations with everybody.
Probably virtually.
I do look forward to the day that I can actually travel and see some of our customers and partners face-to-face again.
Yeah, me too. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.